Hello, everybody, and welcome to another episode of Behind the Counter. I'm your host, Rich Dambolian. This is a show about comic books. With me, as always, a man whose favorite album is Razorblade Suitcase, Jonathan Adler.
Who did Razorblade Suitcase?
This is the first Bush album. It's got glycerine on it.
Good album. I love Bush, man.
Do you really?
You don't like Bush? Not a big fan of the first album? Right.
The greatest lyric by Bush, Bad Moon Wine Again.
Bad Moon Wine Again?
Bad Moon Wine Again.
You made an awesome illegitimate daughter.
It's true.
You did.
Daisy Lowe.
Should I do that again and introduce you again as Mr. Leather?
Mr. Leather.
Jonathan Adler. You got to flick your tongue also. All right, everybody, we're here. We're going to talk about comics. We're going to talk about New York Comic Con. The coffee kicked in for me. How about you?
Big time.
Got a lot of news.
We're going.
Got a lot of stuff to talk about. We're going to reach the moon.
1, 2, 3, go.
All right. What do you want to start with? News?
Yeah,
give us some news.
Might as well.
You want to do the whole show really amped up?
Yeah. I feel I'm going to burn out really quick. Frank Darabont.
Go.
You've heard of him, correct?
Yes.
Frank Darabont, the original showrunner for Walking Dead.
He directed a great version of The Fog.
He did.
The Mist.
The Mist, which is awesome.
Yeah.
I never thought that was going to be a cool movie.
Tom Jane, man.
Tom Jane.
Great movie.
Tommy Janey.
Go.
1, 2, 3, be funny, go.
Name somebody else. I'll tell you if I know him.
Norman Reedus, you know that guy also?
I know that guy. Heard about that guy.
So there's been a lot of rumors recently about him possibly being a gay character. Frank Darabont, on his first meeting with Norman Reedus at a party, he goes, I got a great idea for your character. You're going to be prison gay.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, you're not going to be gay, but if you're in a situation where you're trapped with another male, you will make out with him.
Well, let me tell you, that explains the hair.
This guy's
been rocking on 4 seasons of this TV show.
And the bare arms, too, no matter what the weather is.
That is true. Bare arms, he's got the hair of a member of Goo Goo Dolls.
I always thought he was a bisexual man in real life, too.
Yeah?
Yeah. He's got that, like, a little bit of femme quality.
It's the hair.
It is the hair.
You never know. Like, you never know. Some dudes you meet and you're just like, wow, you look just like your mother. That might be it, you know?
So this is a slow news week. So obviously this is one of the first news bit.
I feel like if the character came out as gay, it would destroy the heart of many, many fangirls out there.
I don't know about that, man. I think that a lot of those fangirls, like...
Fanboys.
Are fanboys. But also, I like, most of the fan fiction I read is all about, dudes making love with dudes. Loki is the gayest man in fan fiction.
Have we reached the point where we're just too old to understand anything anymore? And
I hope so.
We're almost in our mid-30s. Scary, right?
I'm in my mid-30s.
Not me.
I've crossed that line already.
This guy's Benjamin Button over here.
Yeah.
Benjamin Button of Bayside. Can't see past his nose.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'll admit it. I'll be the first to admit it. I don't know anymore. I don't know what does it for anybody.
The music doesn't do it for me.
You know.
The
girls liking boys, boys liking boys.
That, like, in that regard, in terms of, like, fiction, because, like, back in the day, it would be like, oh, my God, like, Joe Namath is gay. It would destroy America.
Yeah, different story nowadays.
Now it's like, all right, Norman Reedus is gay. It makes for more fan fiction.
Yeah, it's like, oh, yes. Like, most of the stuff, like, I read a lot of Game of Thrones stuff, and almost all this stuff is revolving around, like, Jon Snow having sex with Jamie Lannister.
Do you look for the gay fan fiction?
Yeah, I mean, what else am I going to look for?
True. All right.
Not enough hours in the day.
Moving on.
So that's that story. So we've also covered a great deal of the whole Mile Manera debacle when it came to Spider-Woman cover. Many people are outraged for whatever reason.
Yeah.
They've never seen a superhero before. And
with her butt in the air.
Her butt in the air. First time ever. Made me think also. Remember when we were working the store? And, like, there was the biggest focus of female attention was Nightwing's butt for, like, the longest time.
Yeah, yeah.
They've always done that.
But that's, like, they've Gail Simone was writing Nightwing and, like, drawing stuff attention towards, like, sexy men dudes.
Yeah. He was Daniel Craig coming out of the water in Casino Royale.
Oh, yeah.
All the time.
Yeah. I'm a Cro-Magnon man. So, in the wake of all this, there's a lot of controversy about the cover and how it's destroying the life of women and feminism. But Marvel went ahead and canceled the variant cover.
Rescheduled,
which is really sad, man. And the rumor is, that I heard on a UK site, is that he is suspended from Marvel indefinitely, where they're not going to ask him for any more work because they don't want the attention. But it is a good attention.
Where Axel Alonso came out and was like, no, he's got plenty of stuff like that he's working on for us.
Yeah, and that's the thing. It's like Axel Alonso... Like, you could tell, like, he was the one defending it. Like, he doesn't give a shit. This is the guy, Axel Alonso was the guy who was adding during Alias when it first started, with her getting booty-duped.
He's on Preacher, man.
Preacher?
Yeah.
He comes from a Vertigo background. Mm-hmm. Ecstatics. He was there doing the whole Princess Di thing.
Booty-duking.
But they had all, like, he's the guy who invoked controversy. He was the guy who was all about, like, the edgy Marvel stuff. And, you know, now he's running the show. But you can see, like, a Disney guy going, it's like, you know what? Maybe we just don't publish it. Not you, just guy. We have not a ton of different artists to work with.
Now, why don't you somebody? I want you to get Jim Lee. Is that the guy that puts ladies' butts in the air?
Jimmy Lee. But it's so stupid, man.
It's very stupid.
And it's just like, it's just.
Jim Lee loves girl butts.
Oh, yeah. I mean, like.
Every Jim Lee cover.
Every Jim Lee cover.
Is the 90s the dark era of comics where you don't want to go back to that? But you don't even want to hit, like, have an inkling of going back
Psylocke.
To the 90s?
I don't know. I think it was, I forgot who I was reading it with. Right? It might have been a quote from him, from Mom and Era, where it's like, you know, superheroes have been naked for years.
Exactly.
Like, it's always been body paint with no private parts. Mm. It's just, you know, sexy, beautiful, superhuman people.
Right.
Like, I remember, like, growing up with, like, Jean Grey. Jean Grey and Psylocke in...
Always in a thong.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, the only reason why we talk about Psylocke nowadays is because they decide to remake her into a sexy Japanese ninja.
Right.
Like, which is... There's no other... There's no, like, story where, like, just, you know what? Naturally, this story is going to evolve into Psylocke turning into a sexy...
Japanese ninja.
Of course.
The 90s are to be swept under the rug, and that equals... And that you make, like, that the paradigm shift, and you make, like, this weird paradox where, like, I don't want to see this because it's horseshit. It makes people... It makes me feel weird. But the opposite of that is, like, Milo Manara has every right to be, like, are comic books not a high form of art? Are they not art? So you're telling me that my art is garbage, therefore you're calling me garbage, and you're calling your entire medium garbage because you're not accepting this. It's people draw different things in different ways. You know?
And also we're seeing the whole era of, like, being offended just for the hell of it. You know, we have everyone has a soapbox they can get on and can get a movement going about whatever. And that it's just another medium. Like, and this is, like, goes kind of back to, like, the weirdo shit with the Comic-Con stuff with, like, you know, the false fans and people who are just dressing up for, you know, attention, whatever it may be, which I don't think is as big of a problem, but I do see it being as, like, this is your entry point into this world.
Okay.
Like, you like the aesthetics of it, or the aesthetics that you think are what represents superhero, and this is what you want. Like, that's why we saw, like, when they announced the new Batgirl costume.
Yeah.
You know, it's the Doc Martin boots and everything. And it's a good-looking costume, but there was so much attention towards it because there was no skin.
Right.
There was no attention. There was, like, no skin whatsoever. And what I'm afraid of is that there was I think when they were redesigning, like, Scarlet Witch, they were doing, like, a bunch of rooftop stuff, They're redesigning certain characters. And every woman character that praised was, like, long sleeves. The Uncanny X-Men, like, you know, Rogue and Scarlet Witch were basically, there was no form-fitting clothing on them.
Right.
That's okay. That works with Cassidy. That's his art style.
Yeah.
I understand what they're trying to do. But it seems if there's any sexuality whatsoever in a female in terms of in the world of comics.
Power Girl. Change her look up.
You're a whore. Like, you're representing your sex. Sex is a bad thing. You shouldn't have this. You're demeaning her. Like, get out of here.
It's going to be the return of the comics code. I got one thing for
you. It is. It's the liberal people becoming conservative.
Mm-hmm. It's really nuts, man. Yeah. It's really, everything's going to eat itself.
Yeah.
Again, I blame social media. That's what I do.
Yeah.
But because it puts everybody so in touch with everything. Let the artist create. And I feel like this is an argument that, you know, we're not going to see the end of. This is an argument that has lasted throughout time. I'm sure there are people in the Renaissance who are like, you know what? I like Michelangelo stuff. He sculpts a great man's penis.
Yeah.
You know, and then there's the other guy who's like, you know what? It's not for me. I want to go with the guy that designs a crazy helicopter. You know, that's what they want to see.
And it's also, I think it's a matter of circumstances. I think we, you know, people are choosing to, like, because, like, superheroes overall are like these archetypal characters representing a certain lifestyle. Like, you know, back in the day we had, like, this guy is the black guy, this guy is the nerd, this guy is this thing, and now we've got to the point where things are more complicated and more human. And I think that we still, like, we, that the Elias fans are watching, like, oh my god, like, if she's a woman and she's showing cleavage, that means all the women are whores.
My god, it's like the big revelation, like the epiphany.
Yeah, like this, oh, it's terrible, it's like, it's not gonna happen.
So you think that's the epiphany people are afraid of?
Yeah, I think that we're reaching a point overall in all media where we're looking at the idea of anything being sexualized, any type of sex being involved in it, is a big no-no.
Mm-hmm.
And it's almost like the PTA, you know, self-hate type of stuff. Like, did you read that thing about that lady who was really, it's like the exact opposite of what this is. the PTA lady who made vagina cookies.
No.
And she got really offended that the teachers didn't wouldn't let them put out the vagina cookies.
Really? No, yeah. I did not hear about this.
She was like, oh, you know, like, that's part of, like, getting involved. Like, that's extreme.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
That is, like, as far as extreme. But if there's, like, women are beautiful. There are beautiful ladies out there.
Yes.
And superhero, and man superheroes also are all muscle men.
Man superheroes.
Yeah. It's dude.
That's like, true.
Like, Spider-Man has been a jacked up dude wearing no clothes, showing his butt off for his entire career.
Right.
It's sad.
It is sad, and it's further perpetuating just the eating itself. Like, it's like we're gonna. I feel like it's not coming to a head, but I think we're gonna get like a little sense of things too at this year's Comic Con. I think there's gonna be a lot more like tension and a lot more fervor, which there shouldn't be.
I'm very interested about that.
Yeah,
and that about what the paradigm shift is going. If we are gonna see more, you know, Batgirl stock clothing, are we still gonna get like naked people?
I think you're still going to get babes.
Let's do it. Let's do a tally when we're there and see like what the overall was it skin or like are you fixate like are you fixate showing off like your skin? Is that what the goal of your thing is, or your goal is to be completely covered up?
Okay, you can say like why this costume, why that costume.
Yeah,
yeah, it's a very fascinating thing because this is when the things. I think this is what Stan Lee had in mind with the letters pages by him saying like, you know what, like. I heard about these things called computers. I hope they don't get out of hand one day. If somebody's got a problem, they'll send us a letter and we'll print maybe like three or four of them. A
couple of them.
And, you know, we'll answer them in a whimsical way. As opposed to Twitter and Facebook are immediate letter pages where, you know what, like you can, for 10 minutes, you can take 10 minutes out of your day if you're a creator, go on a Facebook page or go
on Twitter.
On Twitter, and you'll see a million people who hate your goddamn face, you know? Or you'll see a million people that love you. And unfortunately, you know, nobody ever concentrates on the love. It's always just like, you suck, you suck, you suck, I hate you.
It's the negative part of it.
And there's always people who bandy about, like, there's so many different things with relations to comics, different websites, different forums that just have to do with something sucking. I don't really appreciate that. You know what? Just, like, suck it up, man.
It is the negative energy that is brought on by, like, I mean, most people are not going to comment on praise. Like, just like you said, like, praise is secondary to out, you know, letting people know that, you know, you're shitty.
This
like,
is how I feel.
Piece of shit. There's a good, like, this is revolves the other show, too.
Mm.
I was reading a joke, like, how do you know someone's about to leave wrestling? Like, don't worry, they'll fucking tell you about it.
That's true.
Yeah, same thing with comic fans. Like they will voice their negativity big time. And the same same kind of thing with women and censorship. You know, this week is banned book week. And our friend Bobby lives and works in libraries.
Lives in the library.
And every once in a while he has an opportunity to order graphic novels. And like he'll, you know, put it like he was really fighting to get Promethea in there. Because Promethea is like, you know, it's daring.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a great female role model. You have a woman who's investigating literature and comes out and turns into a superhero. So when he was doing it, the woman who was in charge of the teen section, because teen is weird. Teen is from 12 to 18 years old. So it's like a weird thing. You have to protect the 12-year-olds so you don't really worry about the ones who are like 16, 17, 18 years old. So overall, her blanket statement was like, you know, be careful with ordering the Alan Moore stuff. And he was like, you know, if you don't mind me asking why, you know, it's like, it's like, well, I'm not going to order like the rape stuff, like Necromonicon and have like fish rape for, you know, for the kids.
He's not ordering, girls?
Yeah, girls. but he did want to order like Promethea and there's some sex stuff in it and everything. And it is very heady, but like they won't allow Watchmen in there.
Oh, wow.
They won't allow V for Vendetta in there.
That's interesting.
And like, I remember like, when was the first time you read Watchmen? Because Watchmen was like my kind of awakening when it came to that era of comics.
Too young to understand it, but I still read it. You know?
I understood it, but like, you know, her thing with Watchmen was like, well, this is what Bobby was assuming was the rape, you know, the rape scene in it. Which the rape scene is completely off camera.
Right.
Like you just see the fallout of it. And as a kid, I probably read it when I was like 14, 15 years old. And I remember reading it like, not so much putting together that she was raped, but something bad happened to her.
Yeah.
And like the same thing, like I think as a male and being someone who has been in, you know, like reading all of his life, same thing with you, where you like to take, like part of your advancement of being an intellectual is trying the daring stuff.
Right.
And a lot of those comics were a great way to kind of take the next step and do something a little bit more mature.
Mm-hmm.
Especially Alan Moore. Like those like V Vendetta, Watchmen, Hellblazer.
Yeah.
Were like the steps of me maturing as a reader when it came to comics.
Yeah. I'll agree with that. It's if you want, you have to push your own boundaries as far as like what you, if you want to find out what you like, you know, and plus like there's, you know, comic magazines, like not comic books per se, but magazines like Wizard, and what other publications were around at the time, like you'd see these books that you're like, oh, I never heard of that. Like I'll throw Watchmen in there as like, you know, like, oh, this graphic novel that these dudes keep talking about.
You hear about the outskirts.
Right. You hear about it. You hear about like
Sin City.
You hear about Sandman. You hear about like Hellblazer. And you're kind of like Cerebus, even. I'll throw that in there.
Yeah, Cerebus has always been mentioned.
Yeah, and you're like, oh, you know what? I want to check these books out. And then one day you just pick it up or you borrow it or whatever. And you read it and you're kind of like, oh, this is, I want to find more stuff like this because this is into, not only is it an awesome comic book, it's intellectually stimulating. I feel like I had that wake up moment when I read Dark Knight Returns for the first time.
Yeah, you know what? I may have read Dark Knight Returns first over Watchmen. I remember the first day I bought it in the old Roosevelt Field Mall at Barnes and Noble's, and I read it in Macy's while my mom was shopping, like the whole thing. And I was like, I've never read anything like this before.
Yeah, my brother used to have this huge comic book collection in my grandmother's basement. It was all like out of order for the most part. So I'd find like part one of something and then scour for the rest. Like Watchmen was like that, where I found like, I saw the cover of like the smiley face with the blood on it. And I was like, what is this? Like, what is the rest of that? I found them all. And same thing with Dark Knight Returns. He had like the four issues of it. And I was like, I got to read these. And I remember reading them and being like, oh my God, this is
crazy.
This is insane. Yeah. This is like insanity right now. Like this is blowing my mind.
Between the art, the violence, the subject matter,
just like the concept of like he's beating this dude up with kryptonite, and Ronald Reagan's in this somehow, you know, like just stuff I didn't understand.
Superman's like the villain of the story,
right? Like just stuff I didn't understand until like, you know, like gang violence and this dude's on a horse right now and he's got like a giant tank.
Good moments,
really hit, huge moments. And I don't know, man. Like I personally encourage kids to just kind of like,
That's the thing is like, you know, when we did read Dark Knight Returns and we did read Watchmen, and that's the kind of way that learning overworld works, just like you kind of like organically
find,
you know,
it.
You like, you know, you find like Dark Knight Returns, and especially now because we have the internet and everything is, you know, you're able to just reach out and grab information. We didn't have that back then. You know, we had to go to the comic store or do some type of weirdo research and just hear word of mouth.
That's the insane thing too, that we kind of take for granted now, whereas like both of us are victims of having a smartphone of just like boop boop boop.
I found everything.
Everything's here. I'm learning stuff, I'm on Wikipedia. Yeah. But when we were kids, when we were younger,
information wasn't tangible like that.
It was, but it was a roundabout way of doing it. Like that just popped into my head. Like what I would do is like I would either take the bus to the library and scour the library for new trades because they still had like comic books.
They still do.
I'd go to the comic store again, like take the bus or the train, or be like, hey mom, I'm going to the comic store, and then just kind of like flip around and be like, what's that? What's this?
Yeah.
Is there? Oh, this magazine, this black and white magazine, will tell me stuff to read.
Wizard was a big help with that, with guiding our education towards stuff, because they would bring up those books. But like we don't have I think with like those guys, like we found out like the Mount Rushmore of the adult comic scene, you know, through Dark Knight Returns and Alan Moore. You found out about Gaiman, you found out about Jamie Delano, you found out about the guys who were writing stuff that was not Spider-Man.
Grant Morrison.
Grant Morrison. Like those are the dudes. Like you started looking into that. But it was organic growth. It was like you using your freaking brain to like, okay, let me discover what my tastes are, and let me look at, like, that's looking at like an old Beatles album. It's like you looking at something that like here's a foundation of a lot of other stuff. Like you wouldn't have Brian Azzarello or Brian K. Vaughan without these guys. And that's, I mean, and when you're trying to get kids interested, especially in a library in a teen section where it's so hands on, and you're trying to recommend stuff, and you have a guy like Bobby who knows comics, and you can't recommend them the starting point, like The Watchmen, The Dark Knight Returns. Right. It's insane, because all they want is Naruto. They want the manga stuff.
Yeah.
It's so weird, man.
It is very strange.
It's very frustrating.
You know, like it's a very frustrating thing. But that's corporate mentality of like you want PC education. You don't want like nobody's supposed to. That's, you know, and it's perfect that you bring it up during like Banned Book Week, where it's just like, Really? Like, you can't give a kid this thing? Like, they're going to get it anyway if they want
to
read it.
Exactly.
You know?
And the point of Banned Book Week is to go beyond your understanding and go beyond and, like, challenge yourself and your and what may offend you and what is... I mean, the stuff that's taboo is usually the stuff that's most captivating.
Yeah.
I mean, like, you know, and that's part of being a teenager. Like, you're going to do the illicit stuff. You're going to look at ways to rebel and go against the regular grain. And, like, the more you repress stuff, and this goes basic psychology, the more you repress stuff, the more that stuff builds up, and eventually we'll get channeled in some bullshit.
Absolutely. I was actually talking about that with my brother. Like, not to go off topic, but it's on the topic of, like, it's really weird how people express, like, their, like, there's, they were talking about, like, my brother's over talking about, like investments, like, future investments and stuff like that. And they were like, you know, like an apartment you can fix up, or like, I was like, you know what, I'd go in on a bar if I had the money. But the other problem that comes with that is just, like, it's not so much owning the bar and making the money on the bar. It's the people who walk into your bar that you don't know where they're doing. Like, in Astoria, we, like, go in a Fatty's Cafe, and we're talking to the owner last time we were there. And he was saying that, like, he's like, as like, I has a new place. He's like, it's all right, man. It's cool. Like, there's like a serial Upper Decker around these two blocks, like, of restaurants. And I'm like, really? He's like, yeah, it sucks, man. Like, we gotta, like, spend so much time cleaning the toilet because it's somebody's coming in here and he's coming into that guy's place and he's going into that place, just upper decking the toilets, you know? And, like, it just reminded me, like, what you said, like, you never know, like, how, like, some kind of, like, maybe that guy was told, like, you can't read Watchmen. Yeah. And that's how it manifested himself, by pooping in a public bathroom on the top part of the toilet.
Yeah, and, like, you know, like, you know, back in the day, New World, Brave New World was looked at poorly. 1984,
Fahrenheit 451.
Yeah, that was a banned book about banning books forever, which is, like, the most meta thing you can look at. But yeah, I mean, like, repression overall, especially
Satanic Verses,
like, stuff like that. Like, it's all, like, all that stuff is really is the much more compelling stuff, even if it isn't necessarily good. The fact that you have the opportunity to try something that's out of your safety, your safety zone. And, like, and that's part of, like, your teen years are so important to your overall intellectual ability. That's why I'm so afraid for so many kids, because the only thing they're reading are text messages and stuff about Justin Bieber. Like, there's no way of, like, really driving their education towards, let's try something different. Let's try something that you'll probably really attach yourself to.
Yeah.
Because that's what got me into reading. I mean, that's what got probably you into reading was comics.
Comic books still do it for me. That's a major thing with me, was that, like, that was my, it's always been, like, an escape.
Gateway, yeah.
It's always been a gateway. It's always been part of my literary education with, like, I mean, I read books too, and I have read a lot of books, but that comic books will always be the main thing where it's like, I want to be enthralled with a serialized story and talk to me in some beautiful language that I may or may not have to look up, and, you know, just give me some wordplay, educate me, stimulate me. And if, for some reason, like, the first name that pops into my head is, like, all the Brubaker stuff that's come out, like books like Fatale and the crime stuff, like Criminal, and also Fade Out. I don't know if you read it.
Yeah, I did the Hollywood book.
The
Hollywood
one.
Yeah, I just read the first issue.
That kind of stuff, like, if I was, like, a 12-year-old, if I was a 12-year-old, I would be like, what is this? This is amazing. You know, like, 12-year-old me, like, approves of that kind of.
You think that would be the one that.
For some reason, I just, like, if I was, like, a kid, like, I love it as an adult, but if I bought it, like, what's this with, like, the cover has, like, a bloody typewriter on it, you know? Mm. And I'd be, like, intrigued, and then I'd read it and be like, this is completely taking me to a different place in time.
I don't know if 12-year-old me would be interested in that. I would, I think if 12-year-old me, came around,
give me Hyperion.
Yeah, like, I think I would get, like attach myself to Invincible or something like that.
Okay,
that's like what I've been like, if I'm reading, like, if I've just been reading Superman, Spider-Man all my life, and then I come across this thing, I'm like, oh, this is like the exact same thing but really messed up.
Yeah,
like, I couldn't see myself picking up, like, Hellblazer, you know, on day one, but I did. Like, that's the thing. Like, the weird thing was, like, I picked up, like, Hellblazer I read before I read the Alan Moore Swamp thing or Sandman.
Yeah.
And it was, and that's, like, still, like, to this day is, like, one of the most adult and non-welcoming books that you could ever read.
Yeah.
It's just like Constantine. This is Constantine.
Yeah, it's I miss those stark kind of, like, Vertigo books.
Yeah, man.
When I came off of, to finish this up and then go on to the next big thing, but I came off of my brother was always a big Hellblazer fan, and I'd always like kind of like flip through his Hellblazers and read them. And then
it was the name that got everybody. The name was so good.
Like, exactly.
Hellblazer.
And that's how I got into Preacher also, because you'd see the advertisements like months in advance, like from the from one of the writers of Hellblazer, Garth Ennis, comes Preacher. And
it's the art too.
And it's the art.
The Fabry.
The Fabry art. And also like the image of the first cover is Jesse Custer smiling over a burning church. Mm-hmm. And you're like, regardless of who you are or what you believe in, you're kind of like taken aback by that visceral, like, I want to read this and see what happens in this comic book. You know, I think that's another thing that's kind of lacking today too.
Are the ads?
It's just a lot of like, yeah.
The way that we promote the books and everything like that?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, the thing with it's funny you mention the Preacher stuff, because when it was being advertised, I knew nothing about it. I really didn't know Garth Ennis at that point. And it wasn't so much that I was interested in it, because it wasn't until the hype train kind of got up in the first like 12 or so issues. I was bothered by it because I've never seen anyone like Fabry's art, and it was so visceral and made me so uncomfortable. Because like the other one was was Jesse Tulip and Cassie walking down the road.
Yeah.
And like, they look so weird. Like their faces are so weird.
Yeah.
But I mean, like, but that was, it got me interested. There was something unnerving and something completely different. Mm-hmm. And that's Karen Berger. I mean, that's like, she still did stuff that was never, ever replicated in terms of a company. The closest we get to is like the Dark Horse people.
Yeah.
Like the way Mignola treats like the Hellboy family, like Big Chances, Answering to Nobody, completely different, tons of different types of books.
Yeah.
And it's different. But Berger, like, she was so groundbreaking with that stuff. Love Berger.
Love that burger.
Love Berger.
I've been wanting Shake Shack lately, speaking of burgers.
I had it. I went to City Field the other day on Latino Day.
Oh, yeah?
And we waited online for Shake Shack. And when we got, because my dad knows all types of people there, he was with us also.
Okay.
We got to the end of Shake Shack at the front of the line, and he called us like, "Don't get it, like come back." And it came back, and like his security boys got us free, like the shake, burger, fries,
right on.
Sick, waiting for us. I'm like, oh my, and like everyone online was thought we were completely insane that we waited on the line for like 20 minutes. Got to the front and decided to ditch.
You could have,
good.
Could have gotten more.
You know what? She got so sick, like it was so filling.
Really?
I housed mine, I was ready for more. I want to go to Blue Smoke afterwards.
Yeah, Pat Lafrieda's is excellent too.
Which one's that?
Pat Lafrieda's, they have like the steak sandwiches.
Oh, the steak sandwich. That's the other thing I want to try. Yeah.
And they're awesome.
Yeah.
And they have burgers. The Pat Lafrieda burgers are really good too.
But why would you go with like not Shake Shack?
Because the Shake Shack, the line, I can't wait on lines.
Neither can I, but we did. We went to the French fry thing that's right across the way.
Oh, yeah.
And I got garlic fries, and we waited online.
Ate the garlic fries.
And then we got there and got more fries.
You know how to do it.
Professionally.
Let's go. What's next? What's next?
I started watching Sin City the other day.
I was thinking about that this morning.
Well, first of all, like, you saw Spider-Man 2.
Yes.
Why have you not seen Captain America 2 or X-Men yet?
Seen Captain America 2.
Did you? We talk about this?
Yes, we did.
Really?
We talked about this a few weeks ago.
You sure about that?
Positive.
I have to go back in the archives. Yeah. I don't believe that. You like it?
I loved it.
Was it one of your favorite movies?
Marvel movies, yes.
Yeah. See X-Men then.
Yeah.
That's what I yelled at you about. For Sin City, I got the first, I guess, the intro of the movie is, I think it's Silent Night. It's one of like the Marv standalone stories where he chases some frat boys into the town and then they get sabotaged by all the whores. It is so terrible.
Really?
Yo, the makeup for Marv, which was like, what sold that movie?
Falling apart.
It looks like he just showed up and was like, hey, just put some shit in my
face. I'll do it myself.
Yeah, so like, it looks really, really shit. And I click it through it.
Really?
I turned it off as soon as the thing, and Frank Miller's in when the first like minute of the movie.
Really?
Sitting next to Marv. It looks so shitty. And honestly, man, it's too dated. Like the technology they use, it's the same shit they did before. There's with something with Sin City, like it's almost like a one trick pony. You've seen far better things in like the 10 years that it's been.
That's a shame, man.
Right?
That's a big shame.
That was a groundbreaking thing, and now it looks completely.
Especially for Rob Rodriguez, that's a shame. I love that dude.
He's so, I don't know, man. I don't know about love. I think I like the idea of Rob Rodriguez, but the amount of good he's done is very small compared to the shit that the guy's done.
What are you counting as good?
Dusk Till Dawn.
Mm-hmm.
Mariachi.
Mm-hmm.
Desperado. I'll even count Once Upon a Time in the West, even though it's not a Desperado movie. But it's very uneven. I think that's probably the worst out of those three. Machete 2.
What about the first one?
No.
Really?
I saw that in theater. Still hate it.
Okay.
What else do you do? Spy Kids, bullshit movies.
Spy Kids doesn't count because it's for the kids.
Yeah. I think he wasted too much time on that stuff. Mm-hmm. The first Sin City. What else? Did some other garbage.
I think that's it.
Yeah?
Yeah. And then Sin City 2. I know he did a couple of things.
He did
like
some other shit that was like mixed into the pot that was really shitty. But still, like, I think he has the greatest propensity to either do something really awesome or something completely shitty. Like you never know what you're going in for.
It's a shame that this fell on the other side, on the shit end of the spectrum.
Oh, man. Dude, I am going to sit through it because if I'm going to sit through Transformers, which I also got, I have to sit through an hour, 2.5 hours of Transformers. I have to sit through.
Give me your quick review of Transformers. I didn't see it.
I haven't seen it yet.
Okay.
No, I'm going to be sitting through it, but if I'm going to sit through 2.5 to 3 hours of Transformers.
I heard it.
I know, but I'm gonna have. I have to. I've seen all these movies already. Everyone said Dark Side of the Moon was gonna be shit, and I love that movie.
Yeah, me too, man. Sad. That's the sad one.
Yeah, I was really surprised by it, but I'm sure it's gonna be. And it does. It's without the weight of Shia LaBeouf in this.
It's true. But you got Mark Wahlberg. I'm okay with Wahlberg.
I have no problem with it.
I watched Pain and Gain the other day. Also,
the best.
And
the first time?
No. This is like the third time. I've seen that movie like 3 or 4 times.
Isn't it incredible?
It's a really awesome movie.
Have you seen this yet, Andrew?
What?
Pain and Gain?
Yeah.
With Wahlberg and The Rock?
No.
It's the best Rock movie that he's
ever
done.
Is it really?
It is fat.
What is it? It's about like two like bodybuilders?
Yeah, true story. About like three bodybuilders who are like Coen Brothers era like morons. They're just terrible criminals. Like worst criminals.
Oh, that's so good.
And Rock is tremendous in this movie. Tremendous.
I gotta see it.
Very good.
We got 20 minutes left.
Do we really?
Yeah.
Talk about Gotham?
That caffeine. We got to talk about Gotham. Give me your book of the week.
My book of the week was New Avengers.
Okay.
Easy peasy.
I'll agree with that. New Avengers is fantastic. Go pick it up. It's about Thanos and the Cabal destroying worlds and getting out of hand. That scene with
the Doom stuff.
The Doom stuff was phenomenal, which I love. Like, I feel like
that's perfect Doom.
Perfect Doom. Doom writes himself, I feel like, a lot of the times. And that's one of those instances where Doom just wrote himself.
On top of his game,
saying like, "I'm not the afterthought. You should have, like, to Namor. You should have come to me first.
Yeah.
Now get out. Get out of my house."
And focus on all of his strong points and all of his weak points.
And the whole thing with him saying like, starting out with like Namor in the dinner, and saying like, "You know, you used to be like us. We ate. They don't know what we do.
Yeah.
This is our right. This is our right.
We're royalty. You
know, we like Doom eats first.
Yeah.
That is one of the best panels in the book." And then him saying, like, you've changed, now you're becoming one of them, and you're concerned with the bullshit that regular people concern themselves with. Get out of my house.
Yeah.
And, like, just...
And the Kristoff scene where he's like, Kristoff, talk to your father. He's like, you should leave right now.
Just go. Yeah. Fantastic stuff. And the scene with Thanos, and this is weighty stuff that I feel like more people should be reading. The scene on the alternate Earth with Professor X. And,
oh my God, what a monologue, man.
And Thanos saying, like, he's not going to kill you until you beg him to kill you.
I think I'm gonna put that on the Facebook. I have scans of that whole monologue. It's incredible.
Oh, it's fantastic.
With the Zorn and Zorn kissing each other.
Mm-hmm.
And they wiped out the Squadron Supreme universe.
Yes. Yeah.
There's all the last incarnation of that.
That's pretty nuts, too. But I want to see where this goes. I like the 8-month thing. I was... When I saw it on, like, oh, like they're doing an 8-month, like, lead up to Axis or whatever, I really wanted to know where this book went, and it didn't disappoint at all.
Oh, my God. This is New Avengers is my personal favorite book, always. It always is my favorite.
Saga was number 2.
Saga was tremendous. Yeah.
This issue of Saga was phenomenal.
Well, I love the second arc of, like, the getting to the meat, like, the romance is over. This is now real life shit. People getting divorced, drug abuse. Like, you're getting into the real human story involved. Like, and I honestly freaking love Prince Robot.
Yeah.
And I love the fucking terrorist.
Yeah.
What's his name?
It's with a D. I forget.
Yeah. Well, whoever the dude is, like, awesome, awesome characters. And you know those two babies are going to get raised together now.
Mm-hmm.
That's going to go off with this maniac.
Really, really crazy stuff. And plus, like, I feel like this is where, like, the sad, heady Brian K. Vaughan stuff happens.
Yeah.
You know, where it's like, and this is where we separate. And, like, poor Marco is left on that planet with the traitor.
The traitor bat lady.
And now the baby's in space.
Baby's in space. I mean, that's where he succeeds. I mean, all of the best Brian K. Vaughan stuff is the heartbreaking stuff.
Yeah.
Because he's built like a woman.
I want to go back and... I want to go back and read Why the Last Man again.
I want to go back and read that, and I want to go back and read Ex Machina as a whole, because that was, I think, something that kind of got lost in the shuffle in terms of longevity.
Okay.
I think a lot of people got burned out on that.
You know what I think it was too? I think it was just like the wait between issues at certain points was very long.
Yeah, there was a long hiatus stuff, but the ending was fantastic.
Yes,
one of the greatest endings I ever read for a comic.
All right, man, let's do it.
Talk Gotham. About Gotham. All right, did you like Gotham?
I like Gotham premiered the other night. It's about Batman City, Gotham City, Gotham. And about like the police force that governs that polices the city. It premiered what, like Wednesday night?
Monday night against Monday Night Raw.
Okay. I watched it last night.
Yeah.
I liked it. I really enjoyed it. The general consensus from people that I talked to, you, a couple of the friends, and the internet basically groaned at me.
Yeah.
And you know what? I liked it. I gave it. I walk into things with zero expectations. My one high hope was Donald Logue, and he did not disappoint.
I guess.
That dude acted circles around everybody.
He did. No, he was definitely the best actor, and like you could tell like he gave a shit about what he's doing.
Right. Did you like it?
I mean, like when I walked away from it, I liked it more than I thought I was going to like it. Okay. Now, my problem is always a pilot. A pilot is always going to be the worst episode you do in the season. It's usually done before anything else is even thought of.
Yeah.
You just want to, exposition, throw it all in the front, that's it. And stuff is super hammy. Like that, the opening scene with the guy, like, I need my pills. And like,
yeah.
Gordon, who's the rookie, is like, comes down. He's like, everyone, nobody do anything. I got this one.
Mm.
Retarded.
But that establishes Jim Gordon as
being a leader and everything. Yeah. Like that people naturally listen to him. I get it, man.
Yeah, but no, I know you get it.
But that's the thing is, like, you know, we've gotten to a point where our superheroes and the way that we look at superhero fiction and film and TV has come a long way, and we don't need to do like back in the day when you looked at like say the Shadow, Phantom, Ghost Rider, and the shit. There was a certain way that they believe that comic book stuff is going to be, poised to hit the lowest common denominator, and they have to be retarded. Like, it has to be like kind of force-fed into you and more hammy than you do normally.
Right.
And it definitely shows in a lot of this stuff. It shows that's what the Smallville formula,
yeah,
all those other things, like it's there inherently in the show that I have a big problem with. There's elements I do really like. I think the Penguin stuff is really good.
Oh yeah,
I think he's a good actor. I think it could go to some interesting places. I liked Alfred, although I did, like I told you, I had a major problem with the idea of like the way the death played out. Whereas Jim Gordon comes over and interviews
Bruce Wayne
during it, like in the middle of the garbage. The bodies are still on the floor.
Yeah.
I don't think they're even covered. And then like Alfred just shows up, doesn't introduce himself, and just goes like, Master Bruce, and he goes off with him. Like, where is Child Protective Services at this point? Like, oh, let the housekeeper take care
of him. It's Gotham,
bro. Yeah, it's
Gotham.
I understand, but there's we could do a little bit better than that.
This stuff isn't written for dudes like us at all.
But that's so stupid.
But it's not. It's written for the guy who's going to be like, that first scene is a great example. It's written for the dude who's going to be like, oh shit, there's Jim Gordon. And then, oh,
but that's so dumb.
But that's what it's written for. That's like they want the O reaction. Like, oh,
yeah, I know you want me. Like, and I said to you the other day, like you can get the moronic Kirk Langstrom episode.
Yeah.
And it's going to be the same Kirk Langstrom story you've always heard. You know, there's only like two man bad stories.
Yeah.
Kirk Langstrom he's out of control and they got to find him.
Mm.
Or yeah, the better story that they did on the cartoon with the wife, where
right.
The wife is posing as you thought it was him, but it was actually the wife.
Yes,
that was good stuff. But that's the only stories you got with Man Bat. That's my biggest problem. I don't hate the character. It's just there's a limit to what you can do.
Also, the guy who goes, oh,
yeah,
is also the guy who does not care if Child Services shows up to help Bruce Wayne.
It's true, but why can't we? Like, we have such an advanced way of doing television now, where we embrace the idea of it's a 12-part storyline or a 13-part storyline. And, like, use that same formula that you use for, like, Breaking Bad or any of the other award-winning shows and don't dumb it down. Like, you'll still get those people around because you're still getting Batman there. Yeah. You're still getting stupid Catwoman in there, which is dumb.
After the because that initial first bit, I was like, oh, she's going to witness the murder. Yeah. She witnessed the murder. Yeah. And, like, just making her a little bit. It's kind of weird. It's really weird.
And you're completely right about the O moments. Like, the Poison Ivy thing, the Riddler thing.
See, I owed for the Riddler thing because I thought that was neat. And that dude played it perfectly.
He did, but like, yeah. but like, literally, the guy basically said his name, like, mm-hmm. like. By the way, riddle me this, riddle me that.
Right.
I get it. I get it. I get it. We don't need to be that heavy handed, but I'm giving it the benefit of the doubt. Yeah. I will return for another episode because I'm trying to get past the pod thing. The second episode does look a lot better. The worst thing about the show, obviously, is Fish Mooney, Jada Pinkett Smith.
Mm-hmm.
She weighs down every scene. Like, you had so many Donald Logue moments, like, ruined by that poor, poor character.
Mm-hmm. I think she's trying her best.
Yeah, but she's limited to what it is, and your character's called Fish Mooney.
Mm-hmm.
Like, who's gonna take a villain that serious that's named Fish Mooney?
I think it fits in the Gotham, like, repartee of weird villain names.
But you know where this is all leading to, the point where, like, Penguin's killing her and says, like, you know, penguins eat fish. Like, she's designed for that one line.
Well, that's fine. Yeah.
But that's the only, like, we could have put any other, like, greaseball as, like, the guy who Penguin works for.
Yeah.
Anything else. Could have done anything. Do Maxi Zeus.
I don't mind it. Maxi Zeus would have been awesome. I don't mind it, though.
What was the other thing I wanted to say about it? But the best stuff that did come out of it was, like, the Meat Locker stuff with Donald Logue and Gordon.
Yes.
Which was very, very good for it, because it was, you know, this guy shining and doing some really good acting and showing a little depth to the character instead of just being, like, the crooked cop. Because Bullock is a fascinating character.
Yes.
And it's in the right hands.
Yeah.
If it's done the right way.
I think so, too. I think, because, like, Bullock was always one of those, like, characters where you're like, he's still a cop, kind of shitty, but he's dealing with Gotham as best he can.
Mm-hmm.
You know, not necessarily crooked, doesn't take, you know, bends the rules a little bit, and just so he doesn't have to. Bullock always struck me as a guy who doesn't want to do the paperwork.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, so.
Well, I think originally Bullock was introduced on the show just to be the asshole. Like, he was going to be the crooked one and just be, like, the slob. And I think through a lot of the Greg Rucka stuff going into Gotham Central, even before that, the No Man's Land stuff, was all, like, establishing this guy does, you know, inherently does give a shit that he is this weirdo vigilante. I loved the Earth and One version of him, too. As, like, the Kevin Spacey in, like, LA Confidential, as, like, the Hollywood guy.
Yeah.
Who eventually just gets so tormented that he starts drinking and eating.
Yeah. Which gets him. Because you kind of want to see him get big and fat.
Yeah, man. Yeah,
but, like, I don't think that's going to happen on the show.
No, I'm cool with him being this way.
I think Donald, after his turn in Sons of Anarchy, I think he's going to take Bullock to, like, just a weird level that we've never seen.
You got
to
get back on Vikings, man. Yeah. That's, like, the next evolution of the Sons of Anarchy stuff.
Okay.
Yeah. Because he left the show to do Vikings.
That's right. Yeah.
And Vikings, like, he poured himself into two seasons. Yeah. Awesome stuff.
I'll check that out.
I wasn't crazy about it, but I'm okay with it now. I'm still not okay because it's like you're taking away Christmas Allen and Renee Montoya from like the overall thing and the fact that they're grown ass people in this.
Mm.
I'm kind of okay with, but at the same time, I'm not okay with it.
I'm okay with it because figure. How old is Bruce Wayne supposed to be? 10?
10 years old, I guess.
Okay, so he's 10. Figure in another 10 years, he's Batman. Another 10 or 15 years, he's Batman.
Yeah. Right?
So it's age appropriate, I feel, especially with Jim Gordon.
You can see Christmas Allen and Montoya as like 10 years later still being detectives.
Definitely Christmas Allen. Maybe a lieutenant or something.
I could see them doing the question thing really early with Montoya.
Yes, I agree with that, too. And, like, they threw in the fact that she's a lesbian there, like, and, you know, they hinted at, like, Jim Gordon's. I feel like Jim Gordon's wife should have been a stronger character.
Yeah, and I hope that's the pilot doing what, you know, just kind of like, okay, just establish that she is a pretty woman, and at one point she was a lesbian.
Right.
But do you think average Joe watcher picked up on any of the lesbian innuendo? Because, I mean, we going into it knowing that Montoya is, like, the poster child lesbian
for the DC universe.
Yeah, before Batwoman.
Yeah. Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, you think so? I think so.
I think Joe Average picked it up.
Yeah. I don't know if they did.
The Poison Ivy thing was weird.
That was weird.
Because it's like, I'm Ivy, and here I am behind a plant.
Yeah, she's all I'm doing is gonna work with these plants.
Mm-hmm.
Who do you want to see?
Mr. Freeze.
I think you'll get that.
Because I want to see him as Dr. Norman Fries.
I think you'll see the two of them and do, like, you know, the husband-wife stuff.
Mm-hmm. You're probably going to see Kirk Langstrom.
Definitely going to see Kirk.
Jeremiah Arkham.
You'll get all the Arkham stuff.
You're going to get, I think, Jonathan Crane.
Yeah, oh yeah.
Because if you're thinking, like, age-appropriate stuff, I think you're keeping Catwoman, Poison Ivy.
Killer Croc.
I would love to see Killer Croc.
I think every single person, if this does well and continues on, and I don't know if it did do well? Did the premiere do well?
No.
Yeah, exactly. I think that it probably will eventually get to the point where, just like how Smallville was, where, like, let's just, you know, screw it. We're doing Doomsday. Like
Batman.
Like, you know, like, were they just like, you know, like, we have nothing else to do. Like, we got, we can't wait till Batman goes to a grown man.
I think Ra's al Ghul is showing up.
Oh, yeah.
Liam Neeson's showing up, definitely.
Young Talia.
Yep. You're going to get, like, you're going to get more of the street level dudes. I also, like, all right, so.
Mad Hatter.
That dude was supposed to be the Joker.
Well, that's, well, I told you about the rumor, right? About every episode, we're going to get another guy who could be the Joker.
Okay.
Like, there's going to be constant just tease it, which I'm happy with.
Mm. See, I think that's age appropriate, too. If that dude was, like, in his early 20s, you know.
Yeah.
That's fine.
Yeah, I mean, but with him, you could do, he's nebulous. I mean, you could make him any age.
Right, right. I dig it. You're going to see, who do you want to see?
I mean, like, the thing I really want them to see is really, if they're going to do a Joker thing, which, you know, they're itching. Mm-hmm. They're going to, I know that they're kind of doing restraint where we don't need to do Joker.
Yeah.
But I feel like I would be really happy if they just constantly tease that. Don't do it. Like, I know, like, I'm going to dread when I see an Axis Chemical show up and something involved with a comedian. Like, I don't want that to happen.
You're going to get, you're definitely going to get a.
It'd be great if you did Red Hood. Red Hood would be awesome.
Red Hood would be fantastic. Yeah. You would get I think you're going to get Law School Harvey Dent.
You think so? See, I was thinking about that also. Like, why are we, like, because I'm so used to seeing anything with Gordon doing police stuff. And, like, that's a prequel and having, you know, Harvey Dent, like, be the guy.
Right.
That's right near him. So it's weird that, because he's supposed to be the same age as Bruce, that he'd probably be a kid at this point.
Mm.
They'll probably get his father is, like, the DA at the time or something. I think we'll get all the bullshit stuff. I think we'll get Calendar Man. I think we'll get Killer Quill. I think we'll get, who else? Mad Hatter.
Yeah.
You definitely get a stupid Mad Hatter story. What other villains are
before,
there?
Before the villains become villains.
And I think you're going to see weirdo reinterpretations of, like, they'll do, like, red herrings where you're going to think that this guy is showing up early, but it's actually, like, the precursor to him. Like, there'll be, like, some weirdo underneath the ground. And, you know, like, being, like, Killer Croc, but then you're going to find out it's not Killer Croc.
Yeah.
Like, I think they're going to tease a lot of that.
They're going to do that. I also feel like, and I'm calling it right now, I feel like, you know, you're going to have the death of Fish Mooney at some point.
She'll die by the end of the season.
And she's going to come back as Black Mask.
Oh, get her. I think she's done. I think after this.
I'm telling you. It's going to happen. Man. I'm predicting
Black,
that.
Black Mask I could see really working and having as a mystery character, as a driving force of the story.
Yeah. All right, you want to wrap it up?
Sure.
All right, everybody. This has been another episode of Behind the Counter. We will see you next week, and the week after that, we'll be at Comic-Con.
Ciao.